This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here. You there. Appreciate you hanging out with us, however you're tuning in. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Not looking good in the Alamo Bowl all of a sudden. TCU with a drive. They just scored a touchdown, and that makes this one a field goal game. Are they reviewing something on this, or are they just replaying this touchdown run? I didn't see anything all that questionable, so I believe they're just replaying it. Touchdown looks like it's going to stand. 24-21, USC up on TCU. I laid 6.5 with the Trojans. It's not looking great right now. USC's laying 3.5 in game at plus 270. Total in the contest, 45.5, which feels a little lofty. Let's see, we're at 45, but if I'm going to cover my number, I would need over 45.5, so I'm going to stay away from this game. Hopefully USC, with 4:24 to go, doesn't just run out the clock. They want some show points. That is the hope here, but I don't feel great about where we stand there. In the association, a couple games going on. At the break, Pistons lead the Lakers 70-65. Detroit laying 4.5, totals 248.5. And 5:02 to go in the first half. Clippers up 56-30 on the Kings. They're laying 26.5. That total is 219 and a hook. That is the hoops and the college football. Let's get back to the NFL, and we'll begin in the awards market with one of my favorite guys to talk about the league with. He is Ryan Reynolds. You know him from EstablishTheRun.com. Also, at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. So, my friend, I was seeing a barrage of tweets from you about various awards markets right now, and the big one we're all discussing is MVP. And basically what this comes down to is there's good people on both sides of this debate. Now, I'm on one side with Matthew Stafford, and there's a lot of people on the other side with Drake May. I understand what they're saying. I just don't agree with what they're saying. When you look at this market with Drake May up to a minus 360 favorite, and you can get 2.5 to 1 on Matthew Stafford, do you believe the market is showing correctly who will end up being the MVP?
I'm a little surprised May's minus 333. I think it should be closer to even for the two of them. This is the way I look at it, Dustin. I'm with you. I think it should be Stafford, but when we're betting in this market, it's not so much about what we think should happen. It's what voters will vote for. And there's two real dilemmas for me here. One, say like Stafford's playing the Cardinals this week. Say he finishes the year with 45 touchdown passes. You're going to give a guy who has like 32 or 33 the MVP over a guy who has, you know, 10 more passing touchdowns than he does, while having the Rams are looking at a 12-win record. That's usually the qualifier for MVP status. The issue is seeding. You know, a wild card hasn't won in a very long time for a quarterback, where May's going to looking like the Patriots are probably going to be the 2 seed. So that's the one thing in May's favor. But ultimately, Dustin, Drake May, statistically, if you look at his stats, if you went through Kirk Cousins' career, a lot of Kirk Cousins' seasons look like Drake May's, from a raw production standpoint. So that doesn't give me a ton of enthusiasm. I'm surprised that there's this big of a gulf in markets between these guys right now.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm just hoping I peer pressure the voters and doing the right thing. If they have the courage, they will make sure that Matthew Stafford. I think Stafford gets it also, and people don't like this, but he's going to get it because it's kind of like the cherry on top of a Hall of Fame career. He has the Super Bowl. And he might get it on the career achievement level as well, which I'm not saying that's why he should, but I do think that plays a role in how the voting may end up going down. Now, when it comes to Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have Tyler Shuck 60-1, a ticket I never believed would actually be live, especially this late in the season. And all of a sudden it is. So I hedged a little with Tet McMillan, but I saw you tweeting about this, and I think it's legit. I think there's a very strong case for Jackson Dart. So I bet him last night at 25-1 to be Offensive Rookie of the Year, because to me, in less games, I think Tyler Shuck's been very good, but if we're not going to factor in playing the entire season, I think Jackson Dart has a pretty strong case. DraftKings has 14-1. Circa by me here has 25-1. Do you believe Dart has a real shot at this, and what do you make of this market as a whole?
I think he should at least be closer to Show. I mean, Dart has 22 total touchdowns and Show is 11. That's, you know, again, like, that's an enormous disparity. It's not like one guy is 15 and one guy is 12 and Show has played better lately. So I think it should be closer. I do think the Giants probably have to beat the Cowboys in week 18 for Dart to have a real shot here while playing well. So I'm a little hesitant to say that I think he's going to win. I think he's closer to being a factor in here, and I think he'll get votes. And I definitely think Dart and Show should be closer in this market than they are.
Yeah, that's kind of my belief as well. So I put a little bit on him, especially if he shows out final game of the year against a bad Dallas defense. What if Dart just puts up monster numbers? And we just saw with MVP, these markets can shift just off of one game. Ryan Reynolds is our guest. EstablishTheRun.com at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. Coach of the Year is probably the best group of coaches we've ever seen be in the mix. I mean, I think I can make the case for 7-8 guys potentially. And if you want to argue for one, here's what I'm going to say, Ryan. I'm going to say yes, I agree. That person should be Coach of the Year because I don't know how you choose between this group. Who's your favorite in the market right now to end up winning this award?
I do think Vrabel's going to win. I kind of love that Shanahan's gotten as close as he is because he's more of an untraditional candidate. Usually it's an either an exceeds expectations award is for the traditional profile for this race, but sometimes it's teams that overcome injuries get in there, where Shanahan also deserves it from a legacy standpoint. So I like that he's close, but I'm kind of stunned that Liam Cohen's plus 1200 right now, especially like say something messy happens in week 18. Let's say New England loses to the Dolphins or something crazy like that. I think Cohen should be right in the plus 250, plus 300 range. And the other thing, too, this is the real thing for me. Cohen actually calls the offense for the Jaguars. And, you know, he's resurrected Trevor Lawrence's career. So while Vrabel's done a wonderful job, the Patriots are an excellent team. He's already turned New England's defense into a Vrabel defense. You know, Drake McMay's success is Mike McDaniel's helped him. So, or Josh McDaniel, rather. So yeah. I think he's a little mispriced here at plus 1,200.
Yeah, I have him from the preseason at 11, 12 to 1, somewhere in that range. So I don't love seeing at this point he's there, and I think he has as strong a case as anyone. I agree. I think Vrabel rightfully deserves the award this year. I think what he's done with New England, the way he's turned the program around, and they loaded up on defense, but they didn't really solve too much on offense when it comes to finding more playmakers. So although I just argue for Drake May's MVP case right there, I'm going to stay away from that one. Won't acknowledge things that hurt my argument against Matthew Stafford. All right, Ryan Reynolds is our guest. EstablishTheRun.com is where you can find his work at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. The Rams in week 18. Sounds like Sean McVay wants to play his guys to knock the rust off and get things going in the right direction. They're laying 7.5, taking on Arizona. Total's 46.5. Did I just get a defensive touchdown to potentially cover the number in the Alamo Bowl? I think I just did. I think TCU just fumbled the ball and USC took it to the house. All right, I'll keep you updated on what happens there, but I do think that just, oh no. Are they bringing it back? No, it looks like they're counting a touchdown. All right. Refs are conferring. Don't like it, Ryan. Don't like when they're talking. I prefer to see those hands in the air. I don't like this. What are we doing? Come on, give me the call. We'll get to Ryan in a second. Anyway, Ryan, Rams, Cardinals. Is there a bet to be placed in this matchup?
I like the Rams first half. I've seen -3.5. I've seen -4. I'm not confident McVay plays the starters for the whole game, but Arizona's been absolutely reeling. The Rams are coming off, you know, a brutal loss in prime time. This looks like a classic tune-up game for a veteran team. I could see them smoking the Cardinals out of the gate. I'm also kind of interested in the first half team total for the Rams, but I like 3.5. Obviously, I prefer 3.5 minus 4, where we line up when we can here.
I like where your head's at. I don't like what just happened in the Alamo Bowl. They're ruling this an incomplete pass. His arm got hit. It does go forward. That's a tough call. I don't have a really definitive answer for what that should have been, but that hurts my bet. 3rd and 6 coming for TCU, but I don't think I'm going to end up winning my USC -6.5 here. And then also week 18 in the NFL this week, Green Bay. You know, the Packers, they probably need to get right here defensively, just learn how to play without some of their key guys, Micah Parsons, Wyatt not being available. They're 6.5-point dogs going to Minnesota. Not sure who's playing quarterback for the Vikings. Total is 36.5. What do you want to do here?
I'm kind of interested in Green Bay. I don't usually like getting involved in situations like this where one team is resting starters and the other one isn't, but it's primarily a bet against Mac Brosmer. I do not want to take a team. You know, I don't want Mac Brosmer giving 6.5 points to anyone. Green Bay is very well coached. I think they can still get some decent offense out of Willis. And like you said, defensively for Green Bay, that's primarily what the bet is here. 36.5. I would like to do the under, but that's too low for me. So I'm kind of inching towards Green Bay plus 6.5 here.
Yeah, 36.5 in the NFL. I mean, that is as low as it usually gets, right around there. He is Ryan Reynolds. You can check him out over at establishtherun.com at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. I appreciate you staying up and doing this as always, my man, and I hope you have a great new year.
You too, pal. Thank you for having me again.
Awesome stuff from our guy Ryan Reynolds there at Ryan Reynolds NFL on X. All right. While we were talking to Ryan, the Alamo Bowl touchdown was taken off the board. I also should add, it looked like a potential first down pickup by TCU on a 3rd and 6 play. And they did get it. So that when we return from the 2-minute warning, they'll have the football. They're at their own 41. A field goal ties it up. You know what that means? That means as someone who laid 6.5 with USC, I need overtime. I need a field goal from TCU. It's the only way that my bet has a chance to live. I don't feel good about the bet. I don't think it's going to come home. But if it's going to somehow survive life support, it's because of overtime. So I need TCU to get into field goal range all of a sudden. Now I'm rooting for TCU when I have a bet on USC right now. We'll keep you posted on what happens in that game. USC's laying 2.5, but it's -180 juice. In-game total, 120.5. So we're at what, 45? The total is just went off the board. The total is in anticipation of overtime potentially there, but can't bet it anymore. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for more details. All right, we've got a lot of action, including the second half of Pistons and Lakers coming your way in just a few minutes. But when we return, I'll explain why I am very concerned about what I'm hearing about the Miami Hurricanes and people thinking they have a chance to upset or hang with Ohio State. Oh, no. We'll break down the Cotton Bowl next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We're sweating out a bet, USC -6.5 in the Alamo Bowl, and it doesn't look great right now. 24-21, USC with the lead. TCU has the football, 1:18 to go. They have 2 timeouts remaining. But they've got to do some work to get into field goal range. We need TCU to pick it up here and move this football as they're right at midfield, right around midfield. And they just came out of a timeout. And, you know, they've crossed midfield. They're on the opposing 45 and an inch line. So at the USC 45, what are they going to do here as Seals looks over the middle? Oh, he drops a dime. He threw it between like 4 defenders. There's a flag on the play. Hopefully it's not holding. But this is a beautiful throw. This is an absolutely beautiful throw right in the middle of the field by Ken Seals. I got to tell you, like he's stepped up here. Guy in his 5th year, getting a chance to play in for Josh Hoover. What is the call? They're showing Sonny Dykes. Let's see. I need to know the information on the flag. I wish we had it more available. Come on. What is the flag? It's a holding on the defense. Oh, man. We have a chance at overtime. We have got a prayer. We've got an opportunity here for TCU to send us to overtime. We could potentially win our bet there, but I still don't feel good about it. We got a horrible number. We've been wrong most of the night. We had a brief window where we were right. So while I may be obnoxious and celebrate the ticket getting home, I will acknowledge in this moment that we probably are on the wrong side as TCU has shown up to play here in the Alamo. Remember the Alamo, by the way. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. All right, let's see from the 30-yard line. Seals with a run, makes a defender miss. He is down to the 21-yard line, 106 to go. That'll bring up a 2nd down, and I want to say about 5 or 6 here coming up for TCU. Clock ticking under 1 minute to go, and TCU is now favored at -188. USC is plus 145. That's a pass to the outside. If it's a catch, it's a first down, which stops the clock. It is a catch, a sliding catch by the receiver for the Horned Frogs. They are well within field goal range, but you know what? TCU is saying, screw it. We're going for the dub. We're not playing for overtime. And right now, with the way USC defense is playing, super soft. Remember, they don't have their coordinator. That there are issues on this defense. Seals goes for the end zone. Oh, he just misses a guy. No flag on the play. Well defended. And that'll bring up 2nd and 10, 34 seconds remaining in the Alamo Bowl. As, man, this ended up being a pretty good game. We wondered, you know, Josh Hoover not playing for TCU. Oh, man. Hold on. He didn't miss the receiver. He put it right on his chest, and the defender knocked it away. What a play by the corner for the Trojans, because that was a game winner. That was easily a touchdown. All he had to do was come down with it, and the DB wiped it away. So here we go, a 2nd and 10 coming up for TCU, looking over the middle, and they're going to pick up a few yards, but they're short of the sticks and the end zone. However, they'll be able to throw it on 3rd down from the 9-yard line. Bit of a better situation, and they're going to call a timeout to confer and discuss this. If you think TCU wins, you can get minus 166, which maybe it's something I should consider right now. I think we're going to do that. Let's see what I can get here. William Hill. Oh, I just shared the sports book, but whatever. You all can bet wherever you want. Pulling it up because it does the face ID the quickest, although now it's loading slowly. I want to get off of this because we have been wrong, and it's a horrible number at minus 152. I'll take. I am going to bet TCU, and no harm. I got minus 159. Whatever. I'm mostly off my bet. I will end up losing a little bit here, but I'm mostly off my bet. I went minus 159 money line with TCU. I don't feel good about this. Even if we get to overtime, I don't love laying 6.5 with the way things could go and the going for 2-point conversions and potentially missing them. I'll take you through the end here, though. We're about to come out of that timeout. 3rd and 5 coming your way as the Alamo Bowl is delivering. Who'd have thunk it? All right, big play. Big play coming your way. They're back out on the field, lined up with 28 seconds to go. 24-21, USC leads TCU. And from the 10-yard line, that's a dump off to the running back, and he is tackled at the 10-yard line for no gain. We're going to go to overtime, as TCU is very likely setting up a field goal here. Or are they going to go for the dub? Because, by the way, I'll lose both bets now. They go for the win and they don't get it. Oh my God. Please don't do this to me. Kick the field goal and play for overtime. Sonny Dykes. Baby. Brother. What are we doing? 3 seconds to go on the clock. Send out the kicker. Send us to overtime. Oh my God. This is killing me. I don't know what they're showing. Sonny Dykes doesn't look happy. Because he doesn't look happy, I don't think they're going to go for it. He doesn't look dialed in and intense and calling something offensively. I'm seeing a number 96 out there with the offense, which leads me to believe that's the kicker. I don't think there's a guy that size wearing 96 who's involved in the line of scrimmage in any way, shape, or form. So we will likely have overtime here, but they got to kick the kick. They got to make the kick from 10 yards out. What's that, a 17, 18 yarder? Chippy. But it is a college kicker. It's chippy, but it's a college kicker. Oh man, I potentially could lose 2 bets here. That would be dicey. I need overtime, and maybe I can get down something on USC and just, oh, this is gross. I don't like it. Are we having fun? Maybe you enjoy my misery. I congratulate you because I'm miserable for about 22 hours of the day. So you're having a good time if you enjoy it. I only have a good time if the bets hit, if I'm being honest. And right now, checking in on the bets. Let's see, 2nd half underway with Pistons, Lakers, Detroit up 79-76. Their lead dropping a bit there. They were up a lot more at the break. Your in-game number, I want to get you the updated number here. We've got Detroit laying 3.5, total is 245.5. In that game, we're sweating out a couple of plays. Duncan Robinson over points, which does not look good. He has 3 points in 20 minutes. And then Jake LaRavia over 14.5 points and rebounds. He's got 9 points and 2 rebounds. He's at 11. We have a chance there, but I wouldn't say I feel overwhelmingly positive about Jake LaRavia in this spot. I liked him because Rui Hachimura not playing today for the Lakers. That could have meant more minutes for him. And right now, actually, he's played 24 minutes, tied with Luka for the most on the Lakers so far tonight. We've got the Clippers up 73-40 on the Kings at halftime. Our Nick Clifford point bet looking good. He has 5 at halftime. We went over 7.5. Rebounds not looking good. He has 0, but this game's a blowout. That could mean Nick Clifford, the rookie, playing a lot more the rest of the way in this game. TCU's out to attempt a 27-yard field goal. It's up. It's good. There's no time remaining. We are going to overtime in the Alamo, which history serves. I believe we wanted more overtime when it came to the Alamo. I'll leave it at that. 24-24, your score at the end of regulation. OT coming your way. Are they going to put that game back on the board? They took it off the board when I looked. It's back on the board. USC minus 130. TCU even money. I'm going to do bad math on the air. Should I just bet USC as well and completely just... No, because I can still lose two of the bets. I'm an idiot. I don't know why I did that. I should have just accepted the defeat with USC minus 6.5, but I'm an idiot. I don't know why I did that. But all right, they're in a commercial. We'll keep you updated on what happens there. In the meantime, I want to talk about Miami and Ohio State because I'm hearing a lot of people make the case for Miami, why they're going to keep it close. And I'm going to tell you as a Miami fan, 9.5 points feels about right. I love the under. I bet under 42. It's 41 here at Circa. Slam the under. I just don't see Carson Beck being able to move the ball through the air against an Ohio State defense that I think has three guys who may start in the NFL in the secondary alone. So if he struggled with Texas A&M, which is not at this level of the Buckeyes defense, I do think Carson Beck's going to have issues. And for Miami, the entire game plan is going to be how do we get the ball to Malachi Toney? But Matt Patricia is going to take him away. There's potential for a C.J. Daniels game for Miami, the other wide receiver, the transfer who came in, who I like a lot, and I think is an NFL player. But again, they've got a couple of different guys in that secondary that can also help and shut him down as well. On the other side, I think Ohio State's going to struggle trying to get those explosive plays we've known them to get against a Miami defense that's elite. I mean, they got a defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherton, who's going to get a job somewhere. He's going to be a head coach at some point in college football. Let's hear from Ryan Day, who talked about his quarterback, Julian Sayin, and his development throughout the season.
Anytime you get an award like that, it's a compliment to everybody in the program, his offensive line, his wide receivers, everybody involved with it. We always say, the reason you come to Ohio State is to win championships, and the awards come with it. So, but it's good to see him get recognized. You know, Julian is a young player, and you know, you look at the guys who have had a lot of success in college football over the last, 5 to 10 years, a lot of them are older players. Julian's still in his first year, but you can see the growth, how fast from the first game to where he's gone throughout the season. He's a quick learner. He's taken all in, in terms of each week learning from the last game, growing, and then the confidence, as just built throughout the season. So happy to see him get recognized. But to your point, I think he's got a lot of football ahead of him. He's got a huge ceiling.
Yeah, I think Julian Sayin's going to get better with experience. I just haven't seen enough this year with him in big games against top-tier defenses where I think he's going to put it on Miami. Now, Miami's offense may put their team in a bad spot where Ohio State could have good field position with turnovers potentially, but I don't think Ohio State is going to light it up offensively against Miami when it comes to the Cotton Bowl, but under 42. It's my favorite bet of all the bowl games coming up this week. When we return, how are they betting it? Over at the Rampart Casino when it comes to the college football playoff, we'll discuss with Dwayne Colucci next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you here from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are sweating out the Alamo Bowl, although we tried to get off our bet and realize in the end we may lose two bets on this game. Laid 6.5 with USC pregame. Got a horrible number. Closed around 4. And then took TCU on the money line, hoping to get off of it because it looked like TCU had a chance to win it on their last drive in regulation. And now in overtime on a 3rd and goal from like the 2-yard line, USC just got stuffed and pushed backwards. Where are they going to spot this football? This could be massive. 24-24, first frame of overtime. We'll keep you updated on what happens there. But it's now time to welcome in an old friend of VSiN and talk about what's going on in college football, the NFL, maybe a little NHL if we have some time. He is Dwayne Colucci. You know him from the resort at Summerlin, race and sports manager at NY Bookie Dwayne, and he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Dwayne, great to chat again. Love having you here on the show. Let's start with the college football and the bowl games, because we've got the first playoff game coming up tomorrow where Miami and Ohio State going at it. That number's been interesting because it's up to Ohio State -9.5. The total's been on the move from 40 up to 42, now back down to 41 at some shops. What are you guys seeing in the action when it comes to the Cotton Bowl, Miami and Ohio State?
Yeah, well, Dust, we opened it at 9, and we're seeing a lot of Ohio State action, I'll be honest with you. 9.5 now. Like you said, current total is 41 at the Rampart and South Point. So, you know, it's just it's a really tough matchup because we know what Ohio State brings to the table. And when they're involved and, you know, that was such a great, great matchup against Indiana. And, you know, they have that taste in their mouth of blood that they want to get back, you know, into that final. And it's definitely going to be a great game. I think Miami is going to have their hands full, though, I'll be honest with you. I kind of side with the public here, Dustin. It's a tough matchup for Miami, in my opinion. I just think Ohio State is too much, and definitely we're seeing a lot of, you know, the Joe action on the parlays and the teasers, and the sharp action actually initially went with them as well. So, you know, you're getting double plied, double fisted. You're going to have a lot of parlays and teasers alive to the rest of the games.
Yeah, I imagine. I'm a Miami fan, and even I don't see Miami hanging. At first, I was like, you know what? They have a chance to keep it within the number. And the more I thought about it, it's like Carson Beck against that Ohio State defense. I just like the under a lot when it comes to that one. What about the Orange Bowl? Oregon and Texas Tech, where I haven't heard very many people outside of our guy Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN make the case for Texas Tech, who I have 19-1 to win the title. But I like Oregon in this game, Dwayne. And it seems like a lot of people do, too. It's been bet from 1.5 up to 2.5. I'm seeing 2 over at Rampart and South Point right now. Total staying pat at 51.5, which actually feels a little high to me. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you thinking about Oregon and Texas Tech?
Well, we opened it at Texas Tech -1, and now you see where it is, Dusty.
Wow.
You're 100% right. You know, we're getting plied with the Oregon money, too. I'm looking at the numbers right now. 51.5, I mean, you know, just going to be a tough situation here again. Oregon, you know, only lost to Indiana, and I thought they were the best team in the country, you know, Oregon, going into that matchup and, you know, even to sum up the rest of the season. So they're a very difficult team to stop when they get rolling, you know. But this is one loss versus one loss. And now, you know, with the reversal, there's always chances for middles on this game. And definitely it puts us bookmakers in a tough situation if the game continues to move. But I think it kind of leveled out. I don't think it could get to that key number of 3, but you never could tell. I mean, the money and ticket count is very high in this matchup on Oregon, and it's going to be very difficult to get some buyback, you know, maybe get it down just a little bit, but very tough on us bookmakers because we're going to definitely need tech.
Dwayne Colucci is our guest, Rampart Casino, the resort at Sumlin, at NYBookie Dwayne on X, casino and race manager over, a race and sports manager over there at the Rampart. What do we make of the Rose Bowl, where I may have been duped, Dwayne? I'll admit, I think there's a chance I may be on the wrong side here, but I can't not take 7.5 when it's sitting out there with Alabama against Indiana. We've got one of the blue bloods of college football. We've got Indiana, and I love Cignetti. I was on the win total this year. I believe in the Hoosiers. Feels like a lot of points for an SEC team to be getting in a playoff game. So I took it. Numbers moved around. It was 6.5. It got up to 7.5. Now I'm seeing mostly 7s around out there. What are you seeing with this one?
Yeah, if you could get the 7.5, you know, I'm not discrediting you because Indiana has got a, you know, now it becomes where the pressure is on them because they have shown that they're the best team and they're undefeated. So, you know, very tough against an SEC caliber opponent of Alabama, but Alabama has shown some flaws this year, keep in mind, you know, so Indiana has not. Now it's at 7, which I think is the right number. But if you got 7.5, I can't discredit you. We're seeing good two-way action. You know, once we got to the 7.5, you get the immediate buyback from the sharps in this situation. Total is down 0.5 to 48 at the Rampart and South Point. So, you know, we're seeing some good action on this game. This is going to be one of the higher handle games. And I think we might see some late Alabama money. That Bama money comes in late, let me tell you, Dust. So, you know, keep your eye on that. I'm not about this, Grant. You got a great line at 7.5, and there is maybe even 1.75 still out there if you could shop around. A lot of sevens and, you know, the VIG up there. We don't move the VIG at the Rampart and South Point, but, you know, definitely I think 7 is the right number, and I think that we're going to continue to see two-way action on both the parlays and teasers. I don't want to get caught in the middle where both sides of a step. Type of game where you feel that both sides are going to cover on the teases.
Dwayne Colucci is our guest, Rampart Casino Race and Sports Manager at NYBookie Dwayne on X. All right, last one here in college football, Ole Miss and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Not a lot of people talking up Ole Miss as being able to hang. I actually think they could hang in the first half, and I have some trends that I'll discuss later on in the show. Dogs laying 6.5, total is 55.5. What are we seeing with this matchup?
Yeah, we got bet down to 6 now. So we're sitting at 6. We're definitely seeing some dog action. The dogs are barking, like you said. So if they could stick around in the first half, they definitely could, you know, hold maybe a slight edge. But I think Georgia is the much better team in this matchup now when you get to this. And, you know, you had the whole coaching parity with Ole Miss and all that going on as well. So eventually it's going to take its toll in the locker room, in my opinion. I like Georgia in this game. This is one of the few games that I do like. And like I said, though, the underdog was bet from 6.5, now down to 6. He had the Rampart and South Point. Total is 56. That's down a little too. So a lot of people are anticipating a tight first half like you are. But I definitely think that Georgia is going to open up that lead late and get some momentum going. I definitely like Georgia in this game, but the public seems to be swayed and taking, you know, if they could get 6.5, even 7, you're going to see them take it. But I think it's leveling out at 6 now.
Alamo Bowl update. I believe TCU on a 3rd and 20 where they were backed up deep in overtime, which you don't like to see a 3rd and 20 in overtime with a short field. They just threw a wide receiver screen, and if he stayed in bounds, he ran it all the way to the house and it's a touchdown. At least that's what's ruled on the field. I'm watching the replay now. Does he step out of bounds? I don't believe he does. Oh my goodness. 6.5 point dogs last night, down to 4 today. And I believe they just won the Alamo Bowl outright. So let's go to the NFL real quickly here, Dwayne, before we let you go. The big story for us here on VSiN has been the shift in the MVP market in the NFL. Matthew Stafford was the favorite last night. Then he has a horrible game against the Falcons. Drake May jumps to a -330 favorite at some shops, 2.5 to 1 on Stafford. With that line movement, did you guys see any action on Stafford, or what kind of liability do you have on both of those guys?
Well, we don't have the lines during the season at the Rampart and South Point. We don't make those adjustments. But I have been watching the market in that. And I think, you know, there's some value with Stafford. But, you know, Drake May has just been the darling of football in the last, like, 5-6 weeks. And everybody's riding on his coattails. You do have a little trouble, though, now with Diggs. You don't know how that's going to affect the passing game and affect his numbers. You're also playing against Miami, which is a divisional rival. You know, Stafford made a few mistakes now. Those pick sixes are starting to haunt, and those late picks are definitely hurting his chances for that MVP race. But Drake May has been the monster this year, so I could definitely understand why these markets are getting plied with the money that they're getting. And Stafford, you know, he has a slight chance now. It would have helped, though, if he won that game last night.
Yeah, it would have. Dwayne Colucci, I appreciate you making your return here, hanging out with me tonight. We'll be doing this very often, and have a great new year.
Definitely enjoy your new year, and happy new year to everybody on VSiN. Good to see all those people out there again and talk to you guys. And you know how to get me on the social media. So any questions, whatever you need, you know, just ask. And definitely we're going to be transitioning over to Caesars right after the Super Bowl. So I'll keep you guys updated on all that, and come swing by and see me. The horse racing is still off the hook. You know, I'm a big horse racing advocate as well.
I will be by very soon. We will be in touch, and give Dwayne a follow on X at NYBookie Dwayne on X. Appreciate it, my man. Happy holidays and happy new year.
Definitely, Dustin. Same to you.
All right, Alamo Bowl. It is a final. TCU pulls off the win, so we end up lucky. We got a bit off our bet. We're down a little bit. We took money line with TCU at -159, I believe it was, but it was the right call. USC was the wrong side from the jump. Now, all the trends I'm going to share with you in rank and file coming up next say to bet this one team, but I think the number's too big, and I think this coach is going to go out with a bang. I'll share who that is next.
back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We got bailed out in the Alamo Bowl. TCU pulls off the win as the dog of 6.5 points yesterday, down to 4 earlier today, and they win it in overtime, thanks to a touchdown on a screen pass on 3rd and 20. And we went money line to get off of our bad bet of laying 6.5 with USC. But that doesn't take away the fact that that's a loss. That is a loss on USC. We are down a bit of money there. So 2-1 on the bowl games tonight for your boy over at vsim.com/picks. We went 3-1 in college hoops. We hit on Keontae George over PRA for Utah against Boston. Neek Clifford has gone over his points for Sacramento. We still need him to go over 3.5 rebounds, and he doesn't have any in that game, as it's currently 91-63, Clippers up on Sacramento. 3:40 to go in the third. Clippers laying 26.5. The total is 222.5 in that game. The other NBA contest is about to start the fourth quarter. Pistons up 96-88 on the Lakers. Detroit's laying 7.5. 239.5 is the total right now. We're sweating out a couple bets there. Jake LaRavia, we went over 14.5 points and rebounds. Right now he's got 9 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. What's that? 9, 10, 11, 12. We can get there in the fourth quarter. That would help. Now, the other bet is Duncan Robinson up at vsin.com/picks. We went over 10.5 points. He only has 3. He's only attempted 1 3-pointer. He's played 22 minutes. Would really like to see Duncan Robinson start shooting bombs, but if they're up right now by 8 points, I don't really see that happening. So I think that one's going to end up being a loser. Sorry, I had to do that. I don't know why I did it. I've never done that before, but it unfortunately happened, and you had to be there to witness it. You can also be here to witness the show on New Year's Eve. Did you know that? VSiN is live with programming all day long on New Year's Eve. It gets started with the usual suspects, VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern time, all the way through a numbers game, prop points, money moves, follow the money, VSiN primetime, and yours truly on Cashing Out. We've got you covered as you're counting down to 2026 and kicking off the new year. VSiN will be right there with you with real-time betting coverage across college football, NFL, NBA, and more. Spend your new year with VSiN, the nonstop home for bettors. Right now, I want to start looking at some of the numbers as we're approaching the final week where we can do this with the NFL. And all football season long, we've looked for these trends and the information on Tuesdays here on the program that we can use later on in setting up a lot of our bets. Who's doing well according to the number? These aren't like all true 100% of the times systems you should be following. But I do think that looking at how teams are performing against the number to the total lets you know not how they're actually doing, but how they're perceived by the sports books and whether the sports books have adjusted based on their results. And here's what jumped out this week when it comes to rank and file. These are the ranks according to the numbers that we are going to file away to use for our bets later. These are your best teams heading into the final week of the regular season of the NFL against the spread. The Rams, the Seahawks, and the Jaguars are all 11-5 against the number. That is 68.8%. Now, LA is 10-4 against the spread as a favorite. They're laying 7.5 against Arizona this week. Seattle is 7-1 against the spread on the road, 9-4 against the spread as a favorite. They're laying 1.5 at San Francisco coming up in week 18. And then Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a 12.5-point favorite against Tennessee. And they're also one of the best teams at home, 6-1 against the spread at home. And laying 12.5 against Tennessee, I would not do that with Jacksonville. I know there's still a world like where things could get tricky and they could still potentially be a higher seed, I believe even the one seed. But Mike McCoy's final game for Tennessee, and I would say they've been more competitive under him, even though he's a dinosaur when it comes to coaching style and coaching ranks. But I think they want to go out on a last dance on a high, give him a high note. I don't think they win, but I think 12.5 is a lot of points for a team that has been pretty pesky in Tennessee since they made that coaching change. At least they've been better under Mike McCoy. New England is 10-5-1 against the spread, as is San Francisco. And New England's laying 10.5 against Miami. They are 6-3-1 against the spread as a favorite this year. San Fran, again, I mentioned facing Seattle. Then finally, Chicago and Philly, both 10-6 against the spread. Bears laying 3 against the Lions. Chicago's 5-2 against the spread at home, 5-1 against the spread as a favorite. But I like the Lions in that game. I just think that's the spot to look at Detroit, because I don't think there's any quit in Dan Campbell's squad. I think they want to go out and win and take care of business and kind of bridge that into next year. I know that's not really a thing we think about, but they don't want to end the season on a loss. All right, those are the best teams against the spread. Here are the worst teams at covering in the NFL this year. Tampa Bay, they have not covered in 8 straight games. Currently 5-11 against the spread. That's covering just 31.3% of their contests. They're 1-6 against the spread at home this year. That's almost impossible, man, for a team that might be in the playoffs to not cover at home. Green Bay, just 6-10 against the spread, as is Las Vegas, Arizona, Washington, and Baltimore. Some notes, Buffalo 3-5 against the spread at home this year. They are hosting the Jets this week, so I don't know if I'd be willing to lay it with Buffalo in that spot. Cleveland 1-6 covering the number on the road. They go to Cincinnati, where I know the Browns defense is elite, but even if they limit Cincinnati a little bit the way they've been playing offensively, do you trust their offense to do much on the road? Denver's 2-9 against the spread as a favorite. They're taking on the Chargers, who are 3-0 against the spread as a dog, but obviously no Justin Herbert, so I don't know if you really want to use these trends in those situations where we're not seeing the usual players and starters suiting up for these teams. And then finally, Atlanta, 2-6 against the spread as a favorite. They're taking on New Orleans this week. Last I looked, I think that number was 3.5. I would think about the Saints. I like Atlanta as a dog. I don't like Atlanta as a favorite. And the numbers bear that out this year. Just 2-6 against the spread as the favorite are the Falcons. Here are the best teams in terms of the total in the NFL this season. Dallas is 11-4-1 to the over, the best team to the over in the NFL in 2025. San Francisco is 10-5-1 to the over. Detroit 10-6 to the over, as is Tennessee, New England, the Giants, the Jets, and Baltimore. Buccaneers 6-1 to the over at home. They're hosting Carolina. Total in that game's 43.5. You have to imagine both teams want to have their best stuff, but that feels like a little high based on the way these two teams have been playing coming into this matchup. Rams 7-1 to the over at home. I think that's an intriguing one against Arizona, who plays no defense, and we know Sean McVay wants to play his starters at least for a little bit. And then Chicago 6-2-1 to the over at home. They're hosting Detroit, and right now that total in that game is 50 and a hook. Here are your best teams to the under in the NFL this year. Kansas City, number one, 12-4 to the under, 75%. And that was even with Mahomes playing. Let's keep that in mind. New Orleans, 11-5 to the under this season. Houston, 10-5-1 to the under. Philly is 10-6-0 to the under. Chargers, 9-6-1. Denver, 9-7. Carolina, 9-7 to the under. Kansas City, 10-3 to the under as a favorite. They're laying 5.5, and they're at the Raiders this week. Total's 36.5. I mean, the Raiders' defense is bad, but even Kansas City with a backup quarterback, I don't know how they're putting points on the board there. That's the NFL. Let's go now to the NBA, where the Phoenix Suns are your best team covering the number this year. 22-10 against the spread. Phoenix is 11-4 against the spread at home. 12-2 covering the number as a favorite. New Orleans is 20-13-1 against the spread. Utah, 18-13 against the spread. Miami, 19-14. Then you have Philly, the Lakers, and Houston, all 17-13 covering the number. The New York Knicks are your best team at home this season. 13-4 against the spread, but just 3-11 covering the number on the road. And these are your worst teams covering the number this year in the NFL. NBA. Cleveland is 11-23 covering the number. Sacramento, 12-20. Washington, 12-19, as are the Clippers. Minnesota is 13-20, and Orlando is 14-9 against the spread this year. The Mavericks, similar to the Knicks, not great on the road either. They're 5-10 covering the number. The Bulls, though, as a favorite, how about this? Chicago is 12-3 against the spread as a favorite. They're 13-4. I'm going to reverse that. I think it's 3-12 against spread as a favorite, 13-4 against spread as dogs. Let me double check that real quick before I give out bad information here. Best NBA ATS. I think I wrote down my notes in reverse. Bulls as a favorite. I don't want to get this wrong here. Let me see. As a favorite, Chicago is, yeah, I'm right. They're bad. They're 3-12 against the spread as a favorite, but they're 13-4 against the spread as an underdog. So those are the best teams in the NBA covering the number. We'll do more diving into the NBA numbers as the NFL wraps up this week. And if you want to bet on the college football playoffs, you want to bet on the Super Bowl, well, ProphetX has the best odds. With a huge slate coming up this week, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProphetX's 20% purchase match. Download ProphetX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN, and you can get started over at ProfitX, where they've got a 20% purchase match. Right now, all you have to do again is download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. It's Cashing Out, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Still to come on the program, Night Bites, featuring the best sound from earlier in the day here on VSIN, and a conversation with Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper, his thoughts on the college football playoff, as well as week 18 in the NFL. But when we return, we are hitting the hardwood, talking college basketball with Greg Hoops Peterson. What is he like on Wednesday's card? You're going to have to stick around and find out on the other side of Cashing Out.